And joining me in the studio now is comedian Robert Schimmel, who I haven't seen since a couple years ago. And last time I saw him, he wasn't wrapped up like he is today. Suffering from the flu, are you, Bob?
I'm just getting over it.
Yeah. He's got the hat. He's got the leather coat on. I keep the studio too cold for him. But he's in town to work the Funny Bone this weekend.
It's not cold outside. It's just cold in here.
We actually keep it colder in here at all times than the outside temperature.
Wow.
Because, as you know, comedy is cold.
Yeah.
Now, the last time I saw you, I guess, was just after your heart thing. Was it a heart attack or an angioplasty? What did you have?
Yeah. No, it was some kind of heart problem thing, and I did have to get an angioplasty.
Did you?
Yeah. Angiogram, actually.
Now, what's the difference between an angiogram? One is a picture.
It's the same procedure, except they blow a balloon up in your artery in the angioplasty.
Mm-hmm. A fun thing to go through?
I don't think so. But you're awake while they're doing it.
What do you mean?
You're awake. They stick a catheter in your thigh and feed it all the way up to your heart. They squirt dye and take pictures, and you're awake because they have to tell you what to do while they're doing it. And
well, what do you have to do? You're not feeding it up your own
your
thigh, are you?
And stuff like that, no.
Hold your breath?
Yeah, and then they tell you to let it out, and then they tell you to do this. And I said, is it going to hurt? And the doctor said, don't worry, Mr. Schimmel. We give you a little Novocaine shot between your legs, and all you feel is a sting like when you're at the dentist. Well, I don't know what dentist he goes to, but I would check that guy's credentials, really.
The Novocaine shot in the thigh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Where are you checking down there? But you're okay now? The heart, no problem anymore?
Heart, no.
Did you have to change your lifestyle after
that? They told me to, yeah. So I changed my diet a little bit, and I exercise a little more. And
let me ask you about the one thing that I think everybody who's gotten to the point where they've had that cardiologist visit always wonders. Did you have to, like, take it easy on sex?
No, but I got scared about it, though.
What do you mean?
Well, I was afraid to do it because, you know, you don't want to go through that again. I mean, that was a pretty painful thing.
And, sure. Now, did you have a heart attack first? Is that what it was?
What happened was, like, half of your heart, you know, the blood comes in, then it pumps into the other half, and then the other half pumps it back out.
Uh-huh.
The half that pumps it out emptied, and the other half didn't fill it up in time before it pumped again, and it got some kind of weird. It was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
chest pains involved?
Really bad, yeah.
Yeah. Down on the floor, writhing?
Well, I was on the floor, yeah. My wife called the hospital, and they said, dial 911. And I said, forget it. Just take me to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get here, I could be there.
Yeah, right.
Because I know my wife. She'll dial 911 and then leave me laying there while she straightens up so the paramedics don't think we're living like pigs. I just don't want it. And then we're in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and she's crying, and she's going, Bob, don't die. I'm trying not to. People really have to say that? Don't die. Hey, don't tell me what to do.
That's a good tip. And by the way, inhale and then exhale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was scary. It really was. They said, I got in the emergency room, and they said, Mr. Schimmel, we think you're having the heart attack right now. They said, don't worry. This is the best place to have it. And which doesn't make you feel any better, really.
No.
It just really doesn't.
Of course not.
And the guy actually said, does it feel like there's an elephant sitting on your chest? Well, I never had an elephant sit on my chest, so I don't know if that's what it feels like.
Of course. What do you compare that to?
I know. And do people really live after that to tell you what that's like? Wow, what was it like having that elephant on your chest? I thought I was having a heart attack.
And could you answer them? Well, I don't know. It feels more like maybe a leopard.
Yeah.
Or like
a hyena.
A hyena, yeah.
Yeah. I know. My wife was really worried, and my daughter was in there crying. And I told my wife, I said, honey, if I die tonight, I'm sorry for every bad thing I ever did to you. And she said, well, what if you don't die? Are you still sorry, or are you only sorry if you die? I'm sorry I brought it up.
So afterwards, what about that question about having sex? Did you must have asked them that.
I was scared. Well, first they put me on blood pressure medication. And one of the side effects for some guys is that it's hard to
get aroused.
To get aroused, yes. It's
You're
hard
welcome.
To get, it's, hard to get aroused. It's hard to get aroused, and I'm trying everything: magazines and movies, and you know, it's just not working.
Right.
Well, Saving Private Ryan really isn't a good movie to get aroused, but anyway.
Yeah, you have to rent more properly, Bob.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I call my doctor, and the nurse answers the phone. You know, and she's like, Dr. Douglas's office. And I said, yeah, can I talk to the doctor for a minute? And she said, well, he's with the patient. Can I help you? And I said, no, I want to talk to him.
You want to talk? You're a guy. You want to talk to a guy. This isn't something you want to bring up with a woman.
And she goes, well, listen, I'm a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for 18 years. You could talk to me. And I said, well, I can't seem to get aroused. And she said, please hold for the doctor.
She doesn't want to deal with this either.
No.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that 18 years went down the toilet. And then then the doctor comes on and he said, Robert, this is a natural thing. It happens with a lot of guys that take blood pressure medication. All we have to do is adjust the dose. When can you come in? I said, when does the nurse go on vacation? Because I can't face her anymore now that she knows. I mean, even if she doesn't say anything, you know, she's thinking it, you know. And so,
oh, here's the guy.
In. Yeah. Hi, is the doctor in? Sure. How's it hanging, buddy?
No, you don't need that.
And then the guy goes, why don't you bring your wife in? And that way I can explain it to the both of you. So I take my wife in there. And this doctor's like, Mrs. Schimmel, I just want you to know right off the bat that you're a very attractive young lady. And this has absolutely nothing to do with you. This is all your husband's problem and his reaction to the medication. Frankly, I got aroused the moment you walk in the door. I don't know what his problem is. I said, what are you doing to me?
Nice confession on his part. Good bedside really manner, Doc.
That's really, really bad. And, you know, and then I said, geez, I could have milked this for a couple of weeks. Gee, sorry, honey. Maybe if we try a threesome, it'll work.
Call the twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, threesome, right. Here's the threesome. Me doing myself and my wife and her lawyer divide my stuff up. That'll be the threesome. So,
yeah. So at some point, did the other subject come up of, you know,
well,
we're,
then I was
doing
afraid.
It.
Yeah. So then I went to the doctor and he gave me this brochure, actually, that it's called Sex and Heart Disease, which the American Heart Association sends out. And it's definitely worth calling them up for. I don't know the number by heart, but they have a 1-800 number. They'll send it to you for free. And it is just one of the funniest things I've ever read in my life. I mean, you couldn't write stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one of the things in there, it's, under guidelines for resuming sex, was it's best to wait 1 to 3 hours after eating a full meal before having sex.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was swimming. I mean, my mom thinks it's swimming. I remember when I was a kid, I used to eat lunch and go, Mom, I'm going to go for a swim. Nope, you have to wait an hour.
Right. Apparently it was sex. Mom just didn't want to say that to you when you were a little boy.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of just weird advice in there. It just really is something.
Was there anything about intensity? Like you had to take it easy, and that's because
it
that
said that if you started getting chest pains,
stop.
Yeah. No, well, actually, the title of the chapter was, which shows you how stupid they think we really are, was, what do I do if I experience heart attack symptoms during sex?
Mm-hmm.
Do it faster so you could finish before your heart stops. I mean, what do you think? How about 911?
Yeah.
Do you have to really put that in a book? It says it stop immediately. Oh, it says that if you have any of these symptoms during sex, alert your partner and stop your activity immediately. These are angina symptoms that show your heart can't handle the workload.
Mm-hmm.
Try calling your wife a workload once. And you'll never have to worry about having sex during... Yeah, I mean, what are they talking about?
Workload.
Yeah.
Did you ever have the problem at any time? While you were...
A couple times I got scared, but then I saw one of my friends, you know, and he said, man, that's the way to go. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's what I want. What could be better than that? Be in bed with some girl, and all of a sudden, bam, and then you're gone. Yeah, but what if it's not bam, and it's like, and you're like shaking all over the place, and then my wife, you know, thinks I'm really, you know, having something, and... something good, and it's really something bad. And instead of, you know, giving me CPR, she's like humping me into a massive coronary. So, because at that moment, you don't really know.
No, sure. Yeah. It looks like either one could go either way.
Yeah, no, it's pretty scary.
It's the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Comedian Robert Schimmel is here. He's going to be at the Improv.
Wow.
That was a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Going to be at the Funny Bone here in St. Louis. Two shows tomorrow night, three shows Saturday night. He came
three.
In early. Is that right?
Yeah. Three, we're going to really test that hard out.
I was going to say, how is that for you, working all night, every night?
Yeah.
Although you just do weekends now because you got family now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Although you've had family for a while.
But I have a new baby, though.
Well, we'll talk about the baby in a second, but last time I saw you a couple of years ago, you were telling me that your oldest daughter, who's like 18, 19 years old,
yeah.
She was involved with this guy who wants to marry her or something?
Yeah, still the same guy. They go to U of A in Tucson, and now she moved in with him. At first she was in a dorm, and then she called me up, and she said, Dad, I want to get my own apartment because, you know, everybody here at the college, all they're doing is getting high and drinking the whole time. It's just a nonstop party. I said, what dorm is this? So So she said, I want my own apartment. That way I can study. And, you know, I said, you just want your own apartment so then Steve can come over there and then you guys can, you know, do it.
Right.
And she said, Dad, I don't need an apartment for that. We could do it in the parking lot. Great. Did I need to know that, really? So then she gets an apartment, and then he gets an apartment in the same complex. What a coincidence. So,
yeah.
So then this year, right before school started, he takes me out to dinner, the boyfriend, and he says, listen, you know, I was thinking, you know, first we're at dinner. And my wife says to the guy, Steve, can I ask you a question? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, do you ever sleep over at Jess's apartment? And he said, yeah, I sleep over there like, you know, maybe 2-3 times a week. So my wife says, well, listen, I want you to promise me something, that you will not sleep over there more than 3 times a week. Because she needs time on her own to be her own person. You can't smother her and be there all the time. And he says, okay. And then he leaves. And I said, what the hell are you doing? Promise me that you won't sleep there. I mean, you just gave him permission to sleep over 3 times a week. You know, he could have been lying.
Right. He could have been exaggerating a little bit.
Guys always exaggerate. You know? Guys brush up against a girl and tell their friends they went all the way. So, I mean, you know, 3 times a week, it could have been once a month. Now every time he wants to sleep over, my daughter goes, nah, he's going to go, you heard what your mother said, 3 times a week. You want me to call her and tell her you're not listening? So then he takes me out to dinner, and he goes, you know, we were thinking that maybe, he said, you know, I sleep over there, you know, a couple nights a week, and she stays over at my place, and if we get our own place, then, you know, we could save you money on, you know, rent and utilities and stuff like that. And I said, gee, that's a really great deal, Steve. You get to sleep with my daughter 7 nights a week, and I save $17 on the phone bill. Thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, what a thoughtful guy.
I can't believe it.
Did you go for it?
What? I didn't want to go for it, and they did it anyway. My wife said, you know what, if you say no, then you're just, you know, you're like taunting them into going further than they normally would go. And This way, if they did just do it, she goes, look at us. We live together and nothing happens. So that thrill wears off after a while. When it, you know, it's not the same thing when you live together. So now, but I have a 9-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. She just turned 9 in December. And she doesn't know that my daughter lives with him because I don't want her to know. I mean, I really don't think it's appropriate. And it's definitely not appropriate for a 9-year-old to know that her sister is living with someone and not married.
Mm-hmm.
So now my older daughter calls up my younger daughter and says, hey, you want to come to Tucson and spend the weekend with me? Well, I don't want her to see the guy because I just don't want her to.
Right.
So I have to put him up in a hotel for the weekend so that my daughter can see her sister.
Oh, my goodness.
So I make a red. So it's, I don't know what.
Why
was
is this all falling on you? You have to pay for them to get together. You have to pay for them to get apart. It's all on you, Bob.
No, I'm not even allowed to watch. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good night. So anyway, I go to. I don't know what's happening in Tucson, but like almost every hotel was jammed. And the only place I can get him into was Ventana Canyon Resort, which is a really big place down there.
Mm-hmm.
I call up, I put it on my credit card, and I call him up to see if the room's okay and everything, right? And actually to see if he's there. That's why it was.
Of course it was,
see
yes.
If the room's okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't talk to you now. I have a tea time in 15 minutes. A tea time?
Guess who paid for that, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So he's doing it to my daughter and me at the same time.
Now, what happened when your youngest daughter, the 9-year-old, how old is the older one, 18, 19?
She's 20 now.
Okay, she's 20. You've got the 9-year-old, you've got the new baby, which we'll get to in a minute here. What happened when the 9-year-old went and stayed for the weekend with the 20-year-old? Was there no evidence of a male presence in the apartment?
No. She didn't know anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess at 9, you don't pick those sort of things up.
Yeah.
Comedian Robert Schimmel's here with me. He's working at the Funny Bone this weekend. We were just talking about his older daughter and his middle daughter, and you have a new baby, boy or girl?
Boy,
first boy in the, well, aside from you, in the family. Were you going to keep going until you had a boy, or
no?
Were you planning on having another kid?
Yes.
Okay, so this was a planned child.
Yeah. No, we wanted one more, and no, I love my kids, and I think they keep you young, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They really do, and it was pretty exciting. My wife, you know, she didn't want to have sex. The first time, as soon as she found out she was pregnant, that was it. For the whole pregnancy.
Really?
And I still wanted to. I mean, you know, I love her and I want to be close to her and everything. But, you know, women have like every excuse in the world. You know, like, I don't feel attractive. Yeah. Well, I'll keep my eyes closed. What guy would say that if your wife said, hey, you want to do it? I don't feel attractive today, honey.
No guy ever says that under any circumstance.
But I remember she was, well, my daughter wanted to watch the childbirth, my 9-year-old. And I didn't know if it was cool for her to go in there and watch it. And I talked to her teacher, and she said, you have to sit down with her and see if she really understands, you know, about the facts of life and everything. And they know a lot more now than, I mean, when I was 9, my parents told me the stork story, you know, about how my mom and dad wished for a baby and the stork came and everything. It's, my daughter knows a different story. She she knows the real thing.
At 9?
Yeah, well, not totally everything, but she said the woman has an egg inside of her and the man has sperm inside of him and the sperm meets the egg. And that's. And I said, do you know how the sperm meets the egg? No. Good. So, well, she sends away.
The stork brings
them
together.
The stork brings the sperm to the egg.
Yeah, and so was she allowed to go in there, or did you have to have further discussion?
No, actually, I rented a film called The Miracle of Life that was originally on PBS, and it's rated totally PG, you know, and I wanted to see how much of that she could comprehend. And she took most of it pretty good, but when it got to the end, they started showing a real childbirth, and when the head started showing, my daughter was in shock, and I said, what's the matter? And she said, I thought the baby comes out of the belly button. And I said, it does. This lady pushed too hard. Well, what do you say? If she doesn't know, I'm not going to tell her.
Exactly. And that's the problem with kids. When they ask you questions, you give them too complex an answer. They just wanted to know the real thing, you know? Where am I from? You're from St. Louis. Is that what you want? Yeah, that's exactly the information I wanted to have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, she's going to be in second grade, and the teacher's going to say, where are you from? Well, I came out of my mother's. Thank you, Aaliyah.
Right.
You know, I was listening to the radio this morning, and they had ABBA. Did you hear that on the news? And it was on CNN, too. They got offered $1 billion.
Yes.
To do 100 shows, and the spokesman for them said they weren't interested.
Because they're so busy with all their other projects?
I don't know. Services for the spokesman will be at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. $1 billion.
$1 billion. Let's see, 100 shows into $1 billion. That's what, $10 million per concert?
Yeah, between four. Wait,
there they are. They're performing now.
Wow.
Do we have to pay them $10 billion?
$1 billion.
You know what, come to think of it? If we've got a bunch of people together, we could probably raise that much money to make sure they never do a concert.
Oh, my God.
Would you go see ABBA?
No. I didn't see them when they were playing.
Neither did I. I didn't even know they.
$1 billion.
I didn't even know they were still a band, but I'm with you. For $1 billion, I will perform anywhere for any length of time that you want me to.
For $1 billion, I would film an instructional sex video with Mike Tyson in front of my parents. And I'd be the girl. Gladly.
You see, it's important that we know this about ourselves,
yes,
isn't it, Bob?
It is.
We all know what our limits are. Would you do that for $1 million? No. Would you do it for $10 million? No. $100 million?
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody has a price tag. It's like that old joke. We've already determined what you are. We're determining the price now.
That's right, and that's the way it works. I had 8 days before I shot my HBO special, I had my gallbladder removed, and I didn't even know I had gallbladder problems, and I had an attack at the mall, and I collapsed. I mean, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go right in.
Did you think it was the heart again? Because you had that problem already?
It's the same symptoms almost.
Really?
Exactly, yeah. And
did you have your American Heart Association pamphlet with you? Whip this out. Okay, I'm not having sex now, so I don't need this pamphlet.
Yeah. And I was in the... In the emergency room, and they took a x-ray, and they said, you have a gallstone blocking a bile duct, and we have to take it out right away. And the nurse comes in to take me into surgery, and he picks up the chart, and he goes, okay, Richard, ready to go? And I said, Richard? Who's Richard? Because I don't want to wake up in the recovery room with the doctor going, now your vagina's going to be a little sore for a few weeks, but that's typical with this type of sex change operation. Richard.
So you got it all cleared up, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a new nurse, or do they just cross it off on the chart? How does that work?
Cross it off on the chart.
Yeah.
They say laughter's the best medicine, and I found out that morphine is a lot better than laughter.
Were you awake for this one, too?
No.
No.
If I was, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
All I know is I was on morphine for 3 days, and when they took me off of it, I said, I don't need my appendix either, do I? The pinky finger doesn't really do anything. And then I was on Demerol for like 3 days after that. They sent me home with Demerol. And after being on painkillers for 6 days, the first time I had to go to the bathroom, I found out what they meant by the expression passing a brick.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was really bad.
Really?
And I called my doctor, and he said, you know, you should go out and get an enema. And I went to the Fleet makes this mineral oil enema thing, and I went to go buy it. And on the back of the box, there's a warning. I'm not making this up. In big, bold letters, it says, caution, remove orange cap before inserting. And I'm like, which means someone did not remove the orange
cap. It wouldn't
cap.
Be
That's
there.
What that means.
It would not be written on there if they had not had a lawsuit from
That's
this.
That's right.
Some guy had done it and injured himself. And
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. Oh, God.
Every time I see you, you've got some new medical story.
Not only that, in the brochure inside the enema box, they actually have pictures of positions you could be in to take the enema.
Hmm.
They show one of them is like the submissive, where the guy's laying on his stomach on the floor like hogtied or something. Like, I've been a bad boy and it's enema time. And then... See, and I remember them. I used to get to those when I was younger. My mom used to. My mom gave me a couple of them, but
really,
they were never that little squeeze bottle. She had a thing that hung on the door, and then had a hose that came down that looked like the Alaskan pipeline. And then it had that little metal clamp that she held that, you know, held the thing shut. And then she'd say, "Did you smoke or didn't you smoke?"
Oh man!
No. Whoa! Yes.
Yes. You'll say anything at that point. I've never had that. I don't even. You know, when you talk about the thing on the hose, I remember a movie. I think it was The Right Stuff,
yeah.
Where the guys all go get tested and they're walking down the hall. Was that the same thing with
yeah.
the bag hanging?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, oh man! And after doing that, I assume you do that to yourself now as an adult. Once you go out and you buy the product.
People, you can't really call your friends over and ask me, hey, Joey, I need an enema. Can you come on over?
No, I meant perhaps your wife might have been involved
in
this.
I don't want my wife to do that to me.
No.
No. Because I wanted to try all kinds of weird stuff with her, and I don't want to give her an opportunity to do anything with me like that. Somehow I got a funny feeling she'd be sticking that thing in with a vengeance instead of, you know.
Yeah.
So my wife had our wedding anniversary a couple months ago. It's our 23rd year, and
congratulations.
Thanks. And I said, come on, honey. She said, what do you want to do for our anniversary? And I said, let's do something really nuts, you know? And she said, like what? And I said, I don't know. Why don't you come up with something? Because I know she'll never do any of the things that I come up with. And
there are the twins again.
So she says, she goes, here's something we can do. She goes, my girlfriend did this with her husband, and they really liked it. She said, I'll get dressed up really sexy, and we go to a bar, and you let me go in first. And then you wait like 15 minutes, and then you come in, and you act like you don't know me. I said, okay, it's nothing close to anything I would have come up with, but, you know, if that's what you want to try.
But you see, it possibly could have the same ending. So, you realize that, don't you? Possibly.
So I go, and we go to this place. She goes in. I wait in the car for like 15 minutes, and then I walk into the bar. I sit down. I buy this girl a drink, and my wife walks over and goes, what the hell are you doing? I said, who are you? And it didn't really work out that good.
No. But I know that you and your wife did have some sort of recent trip together, didn't you? Was this the anniversary trip to Mexico?
We went to, every year we go to, my whole family goes, my mom and dad, and my brother and his wife and his daughter, and my sister and her daughter, and my wife and my children. We go to Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, I thought it was just a romantic thing for you and your wife.
No, we all do it.
Then there's no romance there, is there?
And I went to my doctor before I went, and he said, listen, don't drink the water or you get diarrhea. Don't have any drinks that have ice in it or you get diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat fruit that can't be peeled, diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat salad, diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't eat any of those things, and I got constipated. Everybody else is running to the bathroom, and I'm like, I'm not kidding. I wanted to, when I got back, I couldn't go. I wanted to see if there was a way I could get bottled water from Mexico to drink. Not only that, everybody has diarrhea there. And, like, one of the biggest things to do when you're in Puerto Vallarta is go parasailing, which is probably the last thing you want to do if you have the runs.
Right.
It's probably not that bad for you, but for the people on the beach. It's pretty bad. Every time the parachute comes over, everybody's ducking under the palm trees.
Yeah. Now, I'm guessing that the Schimmel family vacation, it's an annual thing, really? Oh, you've been doing this for a long, long time?
Yeah, 5 years.
Does everybody get along? And
no, everybody gets along
great.
Do
you do everything together? It's like we're all going to the beach now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all do everything together.
Wow.
And they sell, like, prescription medication without prescriptions over the counter in Mexico.
Hmm.
And there are drugstores there that say in big signs, it says, yes, we have Viagra. And they sell Propecia and stuff like that. I know someone that's taking Propecia. It's not growing a lot of hair on their head, but they have a lot of hair growing in their stomach, I think. Because that's one of the side effects.
Really?
Yeah. But they
Wait, back up just a second here. Propecia is like Rogaine. It's supposed to give you hair on your head.
Yeah.
And he's getting hair on his stomach.
In his stomach.
In his stomach.
Yeah, not on, in.
Inside.
Yeah, inside.
It wasn't like he misapplied it on the outside and it grew around his belly button.
No.
We're talking inside the stomach.
Yeah.
How does he know?
I guess he was having some kind of problem and he went for some kind of scan or something and they thought he swallowed a big hairball. But they sell Viagra. It's $11 a pill there for a 100-milligram pill, which is actually two doses for like a regular person, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of guys there buying it in Puerto Vallarta.
Really?
And I asked one of them, I said, does it work? And he said, are you kidding? He said, I got aroused looking at a fly swatter. So I said, this stuff is really strong. But then there's a warning, because I looked at the box, and it said that if you're done and you're still aroused, 5 hours later, get to the emergency room.
5 hours?
5 hours later. That's great. Next. Yeah, I have an erection that won't go away. Great.
5 hours.
Who would want that for 5 hours?
No. Not
me. Maybe once. Maybe once. Just once, I'd like my wife to say. That's enough. That's enough of that.
Never happened, huh,
Bob? Never happens. No, it's usually, oh, no.
We were talking before about your new baby who's 1 year old at this point, almost
not
one.
Yet, almost.
Almost one. And you were saying before that you wanted your 9 year old wanted to come in and see the birth of the child.
Yeah.
Did she get to come in?
No, she didn't come in. But I remember my wife woke me up the day that it happened and said, I'm having contractions. And I said, okay. She said, look at your watch and see how far apart they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And she said, I'm having another one. How long has it been? And I said, 3 minutes. And she said, no. And I said, yeah. Then bam, another one. She said, how long? I said, 3 minutes. So we called the doctor and she said, how far apart are the contractions? I said, 3 minutes. And he said, 3 minutes? I told her to call me when it was 5 minutes. He said, you're never going to make it to the place where we're supposed to meet now. He said, you have to go to like the closest place to you. Well, the closest place to me is like a Chevy GMC dealership, and I don't want to have it there. I can't deal with that and the pressure from the salesman at the same time.
Plus, the service bay is always full.
That's right. So then we go out to the car. My wife loses her water in the car, which it's not really that a lot, but when you're in a Miata, it's a big optical illusion.
Where's the 9-year-old at this point?
With my parents.
Okay.
With my parents.
They were around. Okay.
Yeah. So then we get there, and my wife had the baby within 45 minutes after we got to the hospital.
Wow.
And
were you in the delivery room?
Yes, I was. And my mom came in there. My mom said, can I watch? She said, it would be so unbelievable for me to see my own grandchild being born. I said, Ma, please. She said, no, I'm not going to say anything. I just want to, you know. And then my wife's screaming, going, she's going, it hurts. It hurts. And my mother goes, you think that hurts? Bob was a breech baby. Do you have any idea what that's like? I said, what, do you have to compete with her now?
We don't have enough pressure of having a kid.
Yeah.
Mom's laying it on, too.
It was okay for me. The only thing that bugged me was at the end. After he came out and was all cleaned up and everything, you know, we got to hold him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then the doctor said, hey, Robert, you want to see where the baby was living for 9 months? And they had the placenta in a tray and... I remember seeing some weird, like, incandescent purple and green or something, and the next thing I knew, I smelled ammonia when they were waking me up. That was it for me. I was on my knees.
Really? You went right down when you saw the placenta?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't want to know that was in there. I just really didn't.
It's just the biology of life, Bob. Don't care. You were out. The biology was you falling down and going out.
Yeah. I don't care about the biology of what's in there. My wife wouldn't want to know what's inside of me. See, honey, this is what was inside of me.
Yeah, when the gallbladder came out.
Yeah.
Did they show her that?
Yeah. Well, that's not even the same thing, though. What's in your gallbladder isn't the same thing as what's in the funhouse.
Well, I didn't want to go the animal way. Yeah, I didn't want to get there.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Robert Schimmel is working this weekend at the Funny Bone. Two shows Friday night, three shows Saturday night. Are they rerunning the HBO special, by the way?
I think they're going to again, but they got great reviews, and they actually added 12 more showings of it. It was supposed to be over December 15th, and they ran it all the way through into New Year's Eve. I was on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. And
thank
they should
you very
run it.
Much.
Is it going to be a video?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Robert Schimmel at the Funny Bone this weekend. Here's the number, 469-6398.
It's going to be a video. No, it's going to be a kinescope.
As long as it's not going to be a placenta, we'll all be all right.
That's right.
It's good to see you again. Thanks
nice
for coming
to see you
in.
Too. Thanks.